So, when we're young, we all have games and toys that we love to play with. We all had games such as hide and seek, tag, Red Rover. You just had all these things, and you had toys. You have all these Matchbox and Hot Wheels cars, and you have Barbie dolls. And if you go into the toy section today at Walmart, it's an overwhelming selection of toys. You know, recently Toys R Us just shut down, and they're even looking at bringing it back because it's such a big industry, because kids love to play with toys, and it's a great form of entertainment. And one has stood the test of time. It's been around for a while, and that is Play-Doh. And it's partly because of the endless possibilities that unlocks the imagination of a child and even adults in Play-Doh, because there's just so much you can do with it. So, for example, you can make anything. You can make a car. You can make a house. You can make an animal. You can make anything your mind allows you to make, things that don't even exist. And when you make of it, you finally create it, you're so proud of it. You're so happy with what you have made. And then the best part about it is you can push it back down and make something all over again. It can be completely remade into something brand new. And you can make a creation that you think is perfect. And then you can bake it in the oven if you like it that much, and it'll stay that way. Can everyone stand for the reading of God's words? So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's the only verse I'm going to be reading for this time, so you can sit back down. Thank you. But it's not the only scripture we have for tonight. Phrase it that way. So my first point to you is don't put yourself into the oven. And I'm going to get around to that. We're habitual by human nature. We have habits. And I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing, because it can go both ways. We follow the same patterns every day, typically. You wake up every morning. Some of us struggle to get up, like myself. Some of us are more morning people. Then, for me, I love McDonald's breakfast. That's a habit for me. I don't go every day. I don't go every day, but if I get the opportunity, it's hard for me to resist. And, you know, I feel compelled to eat lunch at 12 o'clock, even if I'm not hungry, because that's a habit that's worked into my system. And it's a habit that's worked into a lot of our systems on when we eat each day. You know? And so some of these aren't so great, like me eating McDonald's a lot of mornings isn't good for my health. But, you know, eating three times a day has been proven to be the best thing to do for you. So you see both ends of the spectrum, at least when it comes to food. And so we may love our habits and trying, we are living our perfect life if we're not living under God. So we try to live our best life. But Isaiah 55:8-9 reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." So we may love our habits, and some of them are good for us, but we have a lot of bad habits, everyone, because we form them over a lifetime if we're not careful. And we attempt to mold ourselves into our perfect image, and that's not God's image of our life, if until we become the new creation that he wants us to be. So it's something we have to look out for, because if we keep living our lives the way that we want to live it, then we're going to form these bad habits. And the more you do that, the more you start to bake in that oven a little bit, the harder and harder you begin to come and set in your ways. See, we must strive to be more like him, and we're made in his image, as I said. He has a perfect plan for an imperfect people. He looks past our ugly past, even forgetting it for our sake, and shapes us each and every day. See, I have a short attention span, and I tend to have unfinished projects because personally, I love making music. There are some songs I'll make, and I'll work on them for hours every night until I've perfected it to what I want to do. And even then, I'm a perfectionist, so it's hard for me to get exactly what I want. But then there's some projects that I'll take, and I'll work on them for 15 minutes, and then I'll just scrap it because I just don't have the time for it at the time, and I'll just forget to come back to it. And we need to be thankful that we have a God that's closer to the first one of those examples, because He doesn't, sorry, I'm having, the only downside of using technology is technical difficulties. Okay. Well, that won't go away. All right. So we have a God closer to the first example. And the thing about him is he doesn't stop working on you. He continues to work even though you may think you're at the perfect point in your life. He's still going to continue to shape you. He spends his whole life, our whole lives, working on us. And, you know, it even goes back to a children's song. He's still working on me. You know, the words go, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be because he's still working on me. He made the whole universe in 7 days, but yet he continues to work on your life individually each and every day. Now, what does that speak of our creation compared to the rest of it and how much he loves and cares for us? Because his eye is on the sparrow, so how much does he look out for us in our everyday lives? So we know where we stand in God. He cared about us enough to make us in his perfect image. It doesn't say that he made anything else like that. It only says he made us in his perfect image. So we look at 2 Peter 3:9, and it reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So he gets us to that point of salvation. We all have opportunities to be saved. He doesn't give up on a person. Now, the more we harden our hearts, the more likely we are to miss these opportunities, because he's going to reach out to you and you're going to have a chance. But he continues to work after that salvation. Salvation is not a stopping point. It's the beginning of the journey. See, there's so many, you have to, salvation, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, those are just the beginning steps in your Christian walk. Because as you go on, you're going to be tried and tested every single day in some way. And it's going to get harder the closer you get to God, because there's going to be more resistance against you. So we also got to look at the fact of we live in a society where we try to do everything right now. We're in a rush. You know, we try to drive somewhere as quick as we can, because we know with our cars we can leave the house 15 minutes before we have to get somewhere that's 10 minutes away and most of the times be okay. But you can't rush perfection. If we look at how many of you are familiar with the Renaissance period in terms of artistic stuff. So we have Michelangelo, who was a famous painter back in the time, and he did a lot of artwork. It took him 4 years to paint the roof of the Sistine Chapel. And I'm sure his back hurt a lot after that, because every day he would lay on this platform looking upwards and paint above him. And, you know, there's times where he said he despised the project. He was done with it, but he still worked on it every single day until he was finished with it, because he wanted it to be perfect. See, God has love for us, so he's never going to get to that point of not, you know, wanting to work with us. But he's not going to stop until we reach our destination, which is heaven. See, he's going to continue to work each and every day. See, if we mold ourselves, it leads to sinful ways. We have addictions. We can have a poor mental state, a weak spiritual body, pride, frustration, general unhappiness. There's just a few things that can happen if we try to mold ourselves with our own hands. Letting God mold us teaches us everlasting peace and joy and all his other promises. So the more you go your way, the harder it gets to change. The more you follow those habits, the more you go into those addictions, the harder it becomes to step out of that path into the path that God has for you. So it's careful to be able to stay in his word and identify them before they become too deep-rooted in your life. Matthew 7:13-14 reads, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." So it's important to be constantly, you know, to constantly listen out for God, because it's easy to step onto that wide road. It's a lot easier to take a wide highway than it is a narrow back road. And, you know, the highways are made for our convenience, and it feels like living a more convenient life when you're living the life that you want to live for yourself. But, you know, that GPS might have a back road that gets you there quicker and in a safer way than that highway will. So you have to look out for what God has for you, because it's so easy just to, just to take that quick detour. So the next point I have for you is flattening out. So Plato, when you're starting over, you flatten it out. After you made that progression, you flatten it out. And sometimes you have to get a new container of Play-Doh and open it if you've baked it so long. So the point is, change isn't easy. And breaking down the Play-Doh creation, we have to be pressed down and broken down before God can build us back up. Because you're gonna feel some things that you don't want to feel when you're giving up things that you've enjoyed doing on your own. And it's by God's grace and love that you're able to get through that stuff. And he gives you love for new things and new holy things and thinking of more divine ways. So we are made new. And in the rebuild, there's a whole rebuilding process. And construction, as I mentioned with the painting, also with buildings, it takes a while. Notre Dame, which was recently burned last year, and they're planning on rebuilding it. But the first time they built it completely took 200 years. That is a long project. Now, they didn't have the modern technology, but even if they created something like that today, it would still take a long time because of the detailed craftsmanship that's put into it. They had very educated masons and artists that hand chisel the stones to get these beautiful decorations on it that could not be made by a machine, and it would take years to make something that could create something like that. So construction takes time, and God takes time to build us to ensure that we are spiritually sound, just like they take time to build a building to make sure they are structurally sound. And we construct our own lives quickly. If we're doing it, we like to put things together fast, like I said earlier, in a way which we are likely to fail and likely to fall. We don't want to be like the two little pigs that built their house with stones and sticks. We want to be like the one that built it with brick, right? And the Bible says the two men that built their house are the men that built his house on sinking sand. You're setting yourself up for failure when you try to not build your life on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And as I said, it's not comfortable. The Play-Doh, when you build it, you're twisting it, you're turning it, you're shaping it. And that's, you're putting it out of its original form that it's been in that container since it's been made. We're being put out of our original form whenever God's working on us. And it's not always something that's going to be in your comfort zone. God loves to put people outside of their comfort zone because that's when changing growth happens. When that may be you talking to a new person, learning your new Christian habits, or learning the will of God, listening out for the will of God. Because I can tell you, unless you at first make yourself sit down and read your Bible every night, it's not going to happen. You may have the urge to do it, but it's a habit that's formed. It's something that you start off, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes. So it's not easy. Play-Doh is malleable, though, and it doesn't resist the changes that you push against it. You're not going to take Play-Doh and start forming in it, push back against your hand. So we need to be that way, and we cannot resist God. We cannot push back against God because that is only going to drive a wedge, not one that can't be separated, and lead to discontentment. Colossians 3, 9-11 reads, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on a new man with renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Christ is all. When we come unto God through Christ, we are one in the church, and we are one in the church and will be the bride that is married to Christ. We are completely made anew. So we've learned that we can't put ourselves in the oven because that's not our place to do that. And sometimes we have to be broken back down before we can be built back up. There's one really, really, really outstanding example of this in the Bible. Not that there aren't many, but one stands out. And that, for me, is the story of Saul. So we look at Saul's life. I'm sure you've all heard the story, but to give a brief synopsis, He was the son of the Pharisees, and that means that Gentile related stuff had hatred towards it in the household, and he was against Christian church, and because just of the teaching of the Pharisees, and that means that he, you know, was out persecuting Christians, and he even had a hand in what happened to Stephen, a great man of the church, and mentions him being there, and he was about as far away from a Christian lifestyle as one can get, on the opposite end of the spectrum. And he was on the road to Damascus, and he was struck down by Jesus, which you have to think that had to be a real surprise for him, because he knew of Jesus. And once the bright light in the sky is telling you, hey, I am the Lord, then your eyes are really open. But in this case, you know, his eyes, he was blinded. And he had to travel what was believed to be about 150 miles to get to Ananias. And Ananias, a man who was afraid at first because of Saul being such a persecutor, had to be talked to God and be told that he was a special tool that was going to be used through God. So Saul traveled, and he received not only physical sight, but spiritual sight throughout the journey. So, and then he went around and shared the word of God in so many different places, and he became known for being with the Gentiles. A man who once hated Gentiles was now amongst them all the time, suffering for their well-being and for the church being built up. It's arguable, if it wasn't for Paul, I mean, I'm sure God would have chosen another instrument, that the church wouldn't be the way that it is today. He set that foundation, God set that foundation through him so that we could be living and understand what the church is supposed to be. And I want to close by showing you an image real quick of another example of how something beautiful can be made out of a blank canvas. Here we have 3D street art, something that's becoming more and more popular. It may look like graphic effects, but that's just painted onto that sidewalk right there. An artist has seen this, and they saw something that could be beautiful out of nothing. And streets are something that are not perfect. They have a lot of issues. You know, if you look at how asphalt is made, it's made with a bunch of different stuff. It's a mixture of everything, which here they used a smoother concrete surface, but I've seen so many ways they've done it. And an ordinary person would not look at this surface and see that before that it was created. A normal person doesn't look at you and see a tool that can be used to change the world by God. But God sees someone who can make the biggest difference in the world. God looked at the worst possible example in Saul and said, I'm going to use him for my glory. And God looks at you and says, I'm going to use you for my glory as long as you let him make you a new creation. So it's important that we keep our eyes on God, and we have to make sure that we're willing to be molded at any time. That means if you go out today and there's a change in your plans and it's not too far out of your way, I mean, you have to be in line with God to know if that's what you're meant to do. You have to have that understanding, and that comes from praying, reading your Bible, coming to church, and just being one in communion with God. And it's not a one-step process. It's something that we have to do over our lives. So as long as we stay in the will of God and avoid those sinful habits, he can use any one of us as his perfect instrument through him to be made, to make his kingdom whole. Thank you. Man, Pastor, come up.
Amen. How many of you have ever memorized his text, 2 Corinthians 5:17? We used to have it on our bulletin for years and years and years. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you get a revelation of that, it changes your life, because we all struggle with things. Pastor Ricky, come on up. Let's play some music here. We all struggle with things, but when you realize that you're a new creation, that old things have passed away, that means every mistake you ever made is under the blood. And so many people struggle with condemnation, but Christ is working to perfect us, and he is our perfection. But all the old is gone, and behold, all things have become new. What he said, God is working upon us. God is working to perfect us. And the thing I love about God is when I realized how much God loved me, it made me love God even more. And I challenge you, young people, as you're praying, ask the Lord to to reveal himself and his love to you as you walk down the journey of life. You got, as young people, you got a long way to go. But put your hand in the Lord's hand. Walk with him. Ask him to lead you and guide you. Ask him to help you make your right decisions. And as you do that, the steps of a good man, a good person, they're ordered by the Lord. He'll order your steps, but order your stops. He'll put you in some wonderful places, and you'll find yourself in some hard places. But through it all, the Lord is with us. Thank you, Pastor Nate. Appreciate that. You young people, take it to heart and realize God is working on you. And us older people, too. I have to remind myself of that. Amen. That's all. Stand and sing. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
Glory.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you.
And all I do,
I honor you. I'm forgiven. And I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. Oh, you were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again. Amazing love.
How can it be, Lord?
You, my King, would die for me.
You realize that every sin you young people have ever committed, Jesus died, so you don't have to bear that guilt. You don't have to bear the shame of failure. He took everything upon himself. Could walk in freedom. So let's honor him and let's sing to him. Come on, I want all the young people to come up here. All of you youth, come on. This is your service. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That you, my King, would die for
group
me.
Of young people here. Hallelujah.
Amazing love.
Lord, thank you for giving yourself for me. Just let the Lord know. Say, Lord, I'm going to give myself to you. I do. I honor you.
Oh, amazing love. Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. And all I do, and all I do,
I honor you.
Amazing love. that you, my King, would die for me.
Hallelujah.
Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You're my King. You are my King.
Lord, guide each of these young ladies. Help them, Lord, to make right decisions in their life.
You are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. This is my joy to honor you in all I do.
I want you young people to just hold your hands up. Acknowledge the King of Kings. Just hold your hands up and say, Lord, I honor you. I worship you. Glory to God. I give myself away. I give myself to you, Lord. I know you have good things in store for my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory.